Hello, Wantcher family. Welcome to On The Side, the segment where I interview the creators and doers I feel are working on some cool and innovative side projects. Today, I have the chance to conduct my first intercoastal interview. I have, and I don't want to butcher your name, so Zuhair, am I close?
It's Zuhair. But yeah, that's
Zuhair.
The spelling.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the spelling is kind of misleading, Zuhair. But yeah.
Zuhair and Noor? Noor, that works? All right, awesome. Both, I believe you guys recently graduated from Berkeley. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, just May.
All right.
Yeah, just this past May.
Oh, okay, very cool. And both developers working on some really cool projects. So I think to start off, I wanted to hear a bit more about your backgrounds and how you two got together.
Yeah, sure. So just a little bit about myself. So I studied computer science at Berkeley, and me and Noor actually kind of go back like approximately like now 5 years, 6 years almost.
Damn, wow.
So me and Noor kind of met in high school, and we decided like we wanted to be roommates because we both got into Berkeley. And so we've been roommates for 4 years. So we actually ended up sticking together for 4 years. So
that is special.
Yeah. Yeah. And so my 4 years at Berkeley, a lot has happened. I think like we've worked on a lot of random projects, Rapids being one of them. And I think Rapids was kind of fun to work on just because like we were both like into rap, and I think that was like probably one of the things that kind of initially brought us together, was like our interest in music and kind of like how we and our tastes were very similar, so we kind of bonded over that and before becoming roommates, and you know, that kind of carried us through all 4 years. So it's been really cool to kind of productize like what our friendship kind of started as, and yeah, it's still going. Like I think Rapids now is like nearing, or actually has passed 2 years. So it's been 2 years. Wow. Since we've been since we started Rapids. So it's been a pretty long ride.
Yeah. And now I understand what Rapids is now. When you were first creating it, what did it look like? Or what was your idea around the device or application?
Yeah, absolutely. What we started Rapids as was basically just a plain website. The idea kind of was, basically, Noor and I or our apartment kind of had this group chat, right? And I was listening to a song at the time. I forget the exact song, but someone said something stupid, like, and I was like, okay, I want to like really express how stupid that was, and like, so I was listening to the song, and I was like, that line's perfect. So I literally went out of my way to kind of just download that song off of YouTube. I used one of those like YouTube to MP3 things, put mm-hmm. it into, put the link in, download the MP3, put it into Audacity, and kind of like took just that section and just trimmed it right that section, and just manually uploaded that physical MP3 file into the chat just so they can hear like exactly what I was thinking at the moment. And then I was like, that was kind of cool. Like that was, it made me feel really expressive. So I was like, that's like something that should be like anyone can do with any song, right? Or take mm-hmm. any piece of like any like kind of like musical content and kind of just share it with another person in a conversation. So that's kind of how the idea came about. And then so what Noor and I kind of did was like and actually our third roommate kind of helped us with this too, Mujahid.
Now, were all of you just comp sci majors or all developer background?
No. Actually, yeah. I'll let Noor kind of go into his background because he actually has an interesting...
Awesome, yeah.
He studied something different.
Yeah, so I actually graduated Cal with a degree in material science and engineering.
Okay.
And so a little bit out there, like, I first came to Cal, I was really excited in like solar energy. So I did like a solar-powered car, built like a trailer-sized home. But like Zuhair said, like music was something that like we really like bonded over, we clicked over. I still remember like the first day when we moved in, I was like, man, it's gonna be a long year. I'm not gonna sure if I like this guy, but he just played some music, and I was like, wow, this like we really clicked. And then our third freshman year roommate, he just got us into freestyling. So we'd like, it'd be like super stressed during midterms or final season. We'd all take like a break and just like play some beats off YouTube, and like music was really the thing that brought us
That's
together.
Awesome.
And so like Yeah. Working on Rapids was kind of like a whole, like an apartment-wide kind of project. And even like we like wrangled some other friends into it as well. And I remember like sometimes we'd just be like talking to each other and we'd just like talk in rap lyrics, you know? or you'd have like a rap lyric like stuck in your head and we'd be playing basketball and you just like repeat the rap lyric even though it made no sense. I think like the first lyric Zuhair like kept saying was like, I just locked my flip-flop in, I just locked my... Oh, wait, what was it?
Gucci sandal. I just lost a
Gucci sandal in the ocean. Oh, and that was, like, the anthem for our apartment for, like, 3 weeks. And that's kind of, like, what brought us all... I mean, I think music was really what was kind of, like, the glue in our apartment. Wow.
So you...
Yeah, I still...
You create this thing, and you're just sending it in between each other, and then when does it go to the website? Or off the bat, did you want it to take it to the website?
Right, yeah. So website, I think, came... pretty shortly after, just because I think we were in midterms at the time and I finished like all my midterms and I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna build like a rough website for Rapids, just see like how we can piece things together so other people can start using it. So what I initially did was we just created this rough like UI with like a play button.
Okay.
And we started doing the same thing we like I originally did with Audacity, where we would just take like these songs, put into Audacity, and just take those like little sections and then put it onto the website and just, you know, list those. Like I think initially it was just like, you know, 5 to 10 lyrics on the website and just share it with other people, like just send the link out. I remember, like, I still remember when YG I think dropped like Why You Always Hatin'. That was like probably one of the best like lyrics we could get, because like it's just so relatable. You can
works
send
for
people
a lot of
when, yeah, works for a lot of situations when anyone's saying anything to you, just like, why you always hating? Like, and so that was an awesome line that we kind of like, that was like in our inception that we kind of just added and just started sending to a whole bunch of people, and we started seeing things pick up, like certain lyrics, like for example that one, start spiking in usage. And so we were like, all right, how can we formalize this a little bit more? Can we get like people in on it so that they can suggest their lyrics? Can we get people uploading their own stuff? And so that's when we started building out more features. Like I think we ended up building like a messenger bot, where people can kind of suggest their lyrics that they want. And then also some like certified people, like in our friends network, we kind of gave them the power to even like upload their own like little snippets as well.
Wow.
So and that was, you know, that was still the website days. Like we, like you just send the link and like you still wouldn't be able to play it in line, like in conversation. You'd have to go to the link and then press play and then
that's
get
like
to
the
listen
extra,
to it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which was kind of annoying, right? It's not as seamless. And like, I remember like sending it to a couple people sometimes and they're like, yo, why are you sending me this spam? Like, it's not spam. It wasn't spam. I was like, yo, I'm working on this project. Like, he's like, all right, can you make it play inside the conversation? I'm like, I'll look into it.
And now initially when everyone in the apartment was working on this, how much time were you devoting to this? I get your midterms were done, but what did it look like in house?
Yeah. So we kind of, like, I mean, it helped because we just lived with each other. So, like, we just, like, whenever we wanted to, we just pick it up and work on stuff. So, yeah.
You know, it was, like, a couple hours here and there. I don't know if it was actually after midterms. You know, Zuhair, I always give Zuhair the credit of doing his best work when he has, like, finals or midterms to study for. And so it's just, like, you know, once that kind of, like, settled down, just a couple hours here and there. And then, like, over time, it really, like, the time, like, if you look at, like, the time logs, it just, like, builds up. Because I think we have, like, what, 600, 700 lyrics? And, like, each one's, like, independently, like, curated by, like, one of us. So it's definitely been a lot of time put into it.
And then going from when you were just sending each other links to when you were able to develop it where you could do it inside the messengers, what was the growth in users? Like, what was the difference in the amount of people actually starting to use the platform?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was huge. So what we ended up doing, I mean, in the beginning, like, people didn't really know about it. We put it up on Product Hunt. People were like, oh, this is kind of cool. Put it on Hacker News. People were kind of impressed. Yeah. But we ended up making, like, one simple, like, quick demo video where it was, like, two friends talking to each other. It's the one that you saw on Twitter. And we uploaded it on Reddit, and we got, like, on Hip Hop Heads. And we got like 2,000 upvotes.
Wow.
And it was just like, boom. And like all of a sudden people were just like submitting lyrics they wanted, giving us feedback. You know, it was just like a huge like exponential spike in users. That was like awesome for us.
Yeah, I remember like one of the comments that like stood out to me that was kind of funny and cool. Like, it was like, is this the future of memes where it's like in pure audio form?
Oh, one can only dream. Yeah. That is.
Yeah.
And now, to where exactly is RapBits right now in terms of development, the features, and the amount of users you have?
Right. Yeah.
I mean.
Go for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely like slowed down in terms of development. We've got tons of ideas, you know, like making users able to upload their own lyrics and just have us approve them really quick, and kind of like working out videos into the RapBits like iMessage app. I think it's just like slowed down. We've all moved out, so there's that kind of barrier as well. But as it stands, like the app still works, and we just kind of like upload our own lyrics that we're interested in.
Yeah, I think the next steps for us, though, in terms of development, are probably like allowing anyone to contribute to kind of like the like any lyric, any song, like whatever. And also just, you know, like we're missing 50% of the market, or actually more than 50% of the market with Android. Right. So like I think trying to focus on Android and figure out there's some way we can make something work for Android users and get that out. It would be super, super, super awesome.
Which is really annoying, because every time I talk to one of my developer friends or anyone, they only have it for Apple. Yeah. They're like, no, we use Swift. We're not farther in the thing. We'll trade it over or whatever. But
right, yeah.
That is cool. And then throughout building this up, did like monetization ever become part of the conversation? Or did you just want to build a cool thing that a lot of people could use?
Yeah, we did think a little bit about monetization, and that's also when the legality of this of some of our stuff kind of came into play. So we actually ended up reaching out to UMG, which is Universal Music Group, and they're like this record label, probably the biggest record label, and they're signed like with a lot of artists. And we wanted to reach out to see if there was any way we could collaborate in kind of providing this as a service under specific artists, or even like, you know, for specific tours, albums for people, and just see if there was any way. And I guess that's when we kind of realized like we were kind of venturing into this music territory without really like any kind of reputation or background. Yeah. And we were just these kids kind of just like working on this thing that was like, what we found out to be like, you know, completely like controversial, right? Like so we took a meeting with UMG, which we thought was on very good terms, because we met with a person who a representative from UMG who was like super excited about our app.
Did that start with a cold email, or did they reach out to you?
I think it was a meeting at Outside Hacks, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Outside Hacks is
So Outside Hacks is like this music-based hackathon where people kind of develop applications for Outside Lands, which is like a music festival hosted here in the Bay Area. And so it's kind of like that tech influence that kind of seeps into everything. So they have this hackathon where like the winners win, you know, VIP passes, and they get to like integrate their technology like into the festival.
Okay.
And we had actually gone to Outside Hacks a couple years before and like won one of like the side awards, and so we had like relations with some of the organizers.
And you
and so I think Zuhair,
sorry, quick question, with the side award, what did you win that for?
Side award was for like a simple like solar powered hat, you know, that would, because one of the things that like music festivals, like people always run out of like battery on their phone. And it was just like a quick integration with like Weather Underground to tell you, you know, like, oh, it's like now is like a good time to like charge your phone based on like solar that's around. And so it was just like a quick hack we put together over the weekend. But yeah, so we kind of like built that relationship with them early on. And then I think Zuhair went out and like reached out to them in person right after we built out RapBits. And they kind of connected us to people they knew at UMG. And that meeting seemed like, you know, it was really positive for us. Like, you know, one of the potential ways of, you know, making money was just like an acquisition, or they just buy it off us, or, you know, just like some way of working with rights. Like Zuhair mentioned, you know, promoing certain actors or certain musicians, certain songs. I mean, that's all, like, we're able to do that within the app. And then it kind of like went downhill. And I think it just kind of shows the difference between the kind of the Bay Area mindset and more like older, slower corporations like the music industry.
And when it went downhill, what was the type of feedback you were getting from them? They just had no interest, or how did that work?
Right. Yeah. So our third roommate, Mujahid, he was actually in LA at the time. So he physically met with some of their people. And what they told us was, like, to use this content, we have to be paying like a royalty kind of fee for it per play. And like, so it sounded more like instead of us making money, we'd be losing money.
Okay.
So we were like, that's not going to work out. And in the meeting itself, it seemed like there was like a lawyer present, and they were just like ready to kind of like kink out like legal details. Oh, wow. Right there and then. So it was different. Like we thought it was a very kind of well-intentioned meeting, but at the end it kind of seemed to have like went in like another direction. Like their intentions were definitely not aligned with ours.
Wow. Now you're hacking things on the weekend to win awards. You're building this application and contacting different partners. How much of this is a byproduct of just the culture out there at Berkeley and out in the West? Or is this more you went to college and you knew this is exactly what you wanted to spend your time on?
Yeah, the both of you. Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, also, like, part of my background, I grew up in the Bay Area. So I went to school here for most of my life and ended up staying in the Bay Area. So I think that's definitely had, like, a huge impact on, you know, what I've done. And I think Noor can give you the flip side on that because he actually didn't grow up in the Bay Area. And but I definitely think there's a lot of nurture, especially in the Berkeley community, where there was, like, just 3 years ago, I think, is when the entrepreneurship community started really, like, growing in Berkeley. And, like, we saw a lot of surge in classes, in entrepreneurship resources, things like the House Fund, which is, like, this fund specifically focused on Berkeley students. And we see a lot of support just sprouting now in Berkeley. And I think that nurture... like definitely influenced like what a lot of students have been doing in the Berkeley community.
And now three years ago, why 3 years ago? Why did they just start taking off then?
I think, so if you go like 1 hour down south, there's a huge school here called Stanford. And so I think Berkeley has traditionally like just been a little bit behind in the entrepreneurship spirit. Compared to Stanford, but I think we started picking up, you know, what they've been doing well in terms of like having, you know, courses where VCs and entrepreneurs come in to tell us about their ventures and stuff like that, and we brought like, and that's been ported over to Berkeley now, and I think taking like some of those wins that like Stanford has experienced and bringing it here, like I think that started to happen like pretty recently with the large interest of venture capital as well. Like I feel like a lot of venture capital has been like looking at Berkeley now, and so it's like the and you probably also heard about all the blockchain.
Yes. a lot of noise.
Yeah, a lot of noise in blockchain, especially in the Berkeley community, and I think that's why we have a lot of eyes on us right now. So, which is pretty cool. And I think that it's definitely good for us and the school and the students. And I think it's a great opportunity for people to just create stuff that's, you know, noteworthy. I'd like to learn about it.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Just to build up on that last point, I think, you know, Berkeley's had entrepreneurs like for forever. You know, like Wozniak came out of Cal, mm-hmm. and tons of other entrepreneurs over the years. But over the last really 3-4 years is when you see this huge uptick in like particularly like undergraduate, like support of undergraduate entrepreneurs, where there's classes, there's accelerators, there's funds, there's, you know, just tons of ways for people to get really involved with the South Bay or with the with the entrepreneurship community. And like Zuhair mentioned, you know, a lot of those are just like lessons learned from schools like Stanford. And a lot of it's just like we have substantially more students than any other school in the Bay. And so there's a lot of just potential there that is accessed if you put kind of put in that effort. And a lot of VCs kind of like realized that and started building out partnerships. As for my background, so I was born and raised in Boston for 17 years, and I moved out here my senior year of high school. And I definitely had that more of like East Coast mentality where I was like, you know, I'm going to get go to school. My goal is to get really good grades. I thought I was going to become a patent lawyer, so I was like, I'm going to major in engineering and like rhetoric. And I was like, oh, I'm a people's person. Like, that's a perfect way to get exposure to both people and technology. But like, I quickly realized like that wasn't it for me. And being in on the West Coast in Berkeley was a huge influence. I mean, like, Zuhair was my roommate, and I, like, you know, he'd invite me to all these events, and I'd be like, what are these people doing? And then all of a sudden, you know, you see someone who's like 21, 22, and, you know, building out a product that thousands or millions of people use. I mean, for me, that was like super, super cool. And it was like always, I'll be honest, it wasn't always in the back of my head, like, oh, what's the big thing I'll make? But like over time, it's just like I'm in this maker mindset where, you know, all people around me are really focused on making not just businesses, but like really cool product, solving problems. And I think that's like a really, that's not just unique to Berkeley, but a college in general. You have a lot of people who are just trying to solve problems. I think the way that it presents itself in Berkeley is in a lot of startup, in the startup form. And so that being in the Bay has definitely had that kind of like mindset shift effect on me as well.
Very cool. Very cool. And then now, what sorts of side projects are you both working on, or some of the projects you're doing that you're most excited about?
Yeah, for sure. The one of the other side projects I've been working on is Levels, and that's been getting a lot of traffic. A lot of people are interested in, you know, compensation transparency, figuring out.
It's like a salary comparison, right? Or package comparison for.
Yeah, it's so it tells you the leveling hierarchy for different companies, and specifically for software engineering, it'll tell you like exactly what L3 and L4 or an L5 at Google, for example, which are different leveling denominations, how much they're making and what they could transfer to at another company, what level they would transfer to. So it's kind of like a tool to kind of help you figure out where you would move into at a different company and what's fair compensation for you if you were to move.
What led to you creating that?
Yeah, so a little bit of background on that. So I worked with a different friend on this project who was kind of in the industry. So he kind of, he works at Amazon, and he kind of, I actually reached out to him to kind of, you know, learn a little bit more about Amazon and like, you know, other career options that I could like, you know, take after graduating. So I was like, I kind of hit him up and I was like, hey, kind of want to know what are the best companies to join right now and what would be cool to kind of look into. So he told me to download this app called Blind, which is this anonymous workplace chat app where basically people who work in industry kind of anonymously chat about things. And naturally, compensation is one of those things that people talk about a lot. So I started noticing these posts on Blind, and Zahir mentioned this too, was that there were a lot of posts saying, hey, I'm an engineer at Google at L3. What would I come into at Facebook? And like, there are a lot of questions along those same lines with different companies, right? Amazon to Microsoft, Microsoft to Apple, or Apple to LinkedIn, right? So, and we kind of thought to ourselves, like that same meeting, why isn't there like a visualization tool to make this really easy for people to kind of just see where they could come into? And people are asking this like almost by the hour, you would see these questions appear. So like, we were like, all right, we can, and we were both kind of like, we both like to tinker and build stuff. So we were like, all right, why don't we put out a site in the next few days? Just see how it does. And like, just put in the, and just reply to these blind posts, right? And so we created this really, really simple website with just like three companies, Google, Facebook, and Microsoft, or Facebook and Amazon, sorry, not Microsoft. Sorry, Microsoft. But we put that link into those blind posts and started noticing people picking it up and posting it themselves very organically. So we were like, oh, maybe we're onto something here. And from there, we kind of just started expanding it into salaries and more companies and just crowdsourced even more information. And now it serves as a pretty significant tool for even recruiters across the Bay Area.
And now that's all public info? The salary information, yeah, everything?
Everything on our site is public. Wow. And it's sourced from people that visit our site as well. So it's everything's sourced, crowdsourced, and open for everyone to see.
That's very cool. And now, Noor, what projects are you working on now that you're most excited about?
Yeah, definitely. So right now I'm working with a couple of friends. They built out this translation app called Tarjimly. And it's, you know, really for connecting on-demand translators for refugees. So I'm kind of like helping them roll out their app at the beginning of the new year. And, you know, just constantly working on side things. Me and Zuhair have a couple other ideas kind of in the pipeline, working with some of our other roommates as well. So we'll see how it goes.
And now, just to end now, what sort of advice would you give to other people maybe in college students right now who have an idea and want to learn how to make the first steps into actually materializing that idea?
Just make it. You know, I mean, like, I think people, like, just find the dirt bone way of doing it and, like, skin and bones, and just put it out there and see what people think. You know, if people will like it and there's, like, product market fit, people will use it. And then you can just build it up from there. I mean, I didn't have much of a CS background coming into Cal at all, but just, like, really working on projects, you, like, learn a ton of stuff just by doing. So my recommendation is just, like, do it. You know, you'll fail the first time, maybe the first 3 times, maybe the first 10 times. But every time you do, you just learn a ton of information that holding back, you know, you won't get that.
Awesome. Anything to add, Zuhair?
Yeah, I think one thing, I also put this in the Indie Hackers, but I think persistence is pretty underrated. When you build something and you put it out, like, some people just, like, you know, quit maybe after a day or after a hackathon, right? Like, the concept of a hackathon is you build something in 36 hours, mm-hmm. or 24 to 36 hours, and you put it out and then you're kind of done with it. But that, like, why are you done with it? Like, you should keep going. Like I said, Rapids is 2 years in the making, Levels is 1 year in the making, and I think we're only like 1% there in terms of what we want to do. So, like, I think persistence is a huge thing, where you keep going, keep building, keep making your product better. And serendipity in many cases will do its thing, like, where you luck will favor you if you just keep holding out for the long run, right? So I really like the idea of serendipity, where, you know, a lot of what I've done could not be possible without the randomest things, like, just happening. Like, for example, just even finding Noor and just, like, kind of becoming roommates with him, super random, but it made all this possible. Mm-hmm. And then also, for example, just reaching out by email to a lot of people who have helped make a lot of my products what they are. Even like you, right? Like, on Twitter, like, just randomly finding out about Rapids. It's serendipity is just amazing. And I think giving it the chance to do its thing by, like, you know, just waiting it out and, like, doing things for a longer period of time, I think is really underrated. So, Just keep doing it.
I mean, the payoff is huge, right? So if you continue, like, it doesn't take much effort to continue doing something for a month, 2 months, 3 months, and all you need is one big break. And, you know, as soon as you drop it, you lose all, like, potential of, like, hitting that big break. So,
yeah, you can be wrong, like, infinity number of times. You just need to be right once.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Very good point. So just to close out, any last minute shout outs, or where could people reach you if they want to contact?
I guess Twitter, you know. Yeah, you can find us on Twitter.
Twitter?
Yeah, Twitter's the way to go.
Yeah.
And definitely shout.
Yeah, Twitter. So
go for it.
And what are your handles on Twitter? Just repeat them.
Yeah, mine's
mine's just my first.
Go for it. All right, mine's Noorel Dean, so it's just Noorel Dien.
My handle is just my first name. Spelling's weird, but yeah, it'll probably be in the video, so just my first name. But shout out to Mujahid, our third roommate. Niall, who's our other roommate who helped us a lot. Yusuf Fatin, who was also our roommate in our first 2 years. If you want to follow Rapids on Twitter as well, our handle is Spit Rapids. So Spit Rapids on Twitter for for Rapids yeah. handle.
Hear that, everyone? Cool. Spit Rapids. Make sure you get that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining, and I'll let you know when the episode's out.
For sure. Thanks a ton, Justin.
Yeah, thanks so much for having
yeah,
us.
Have a good one.
Hope you enjoyed that episode. Funny thing, that episode was actually conducted outside of an elevator shaft in Columbia University School of International Public Affairs. So I just had a ton of fun doing that interview. And if you like the show, please leave a rating and review and follow us on social at Watcher Podcast. If you didn't like the show, please give me a second chance and check out one of our other interviews, one of our other episodes, or write to me. There will be a brand new On the Side episode dropped next Monday. I hope you have a safe winter break, a very relaxing time. See y'all next time.